this book, if anything, is honest. I mean, just honest. And this is what you, the way that you speak, the way that you write is the way that you speak. And it's a conversation that you can really identify with.
Thank you.
Not preachy. If anything, you're still tough on yourself throughout the whole book, which is seems to be indicative of you. One thing a social worker said to you, do you realize that you wrote an entire book to convince yourself you didn't have PTSD and that nothing really happened over there? Talking about your first book. So is this second book, is it a correction?
Well, you know, the first book stands on its own and the second book stands on its own. The first book, you know, I don't think of as a memoir. It was really a collection of vignettes and stories that people had responded to over the years and that had been a part of my life. But what I left completely out of it was the part that I was still not acknowledging to myself, which was that, you know, I still had PTSD and I had PTSD and I had never acknowledged it. And so the only part of Outside the Wire, my first book, which I'm proud of, it was a bestseller, did well. The only part that I would say, yeah, that doesn't hold up, was the part where I explained over several pages to myself and to the reader how fortunate I was that I had problems, but they weren't PTSD, because it didn't count as PTSD. And yeah, my first appointment at the VA, a clinical social worker who, it turned out, had read that book, it took her saying to me and like explaining my service to me in a way that I could hear, where she just sort of explained, like, let me get this straight. You were in the most dangerous place on the planet, largely by yourself, just you and a translator with no backup, for hours at a time, meeting with people who might want to kill you. Nobody knew where you were. She was like, and you don't consider that combat? And I'm like, well, you know, I never fired my weapon, and is basically what I said to her. And she just explained, she's like, no, that's combat and that's trauma. And then you came home and what did you do for your job? You went to high stakes meetings. That was your job. And so it took her saying it back to me and explaining, you know, helping me understand why it was that so many other people who I viewed as legitimate combat veterans would say to me, I could not have done that job. Like that, you know, I would not have wanted to do that. And I always thought they were being kind. So it took her validating that for me to accept the idea that yes, that could give you PTSD. And it's why she said, I think you wrote an entire book to convince yourself that you didn't have PTSD.
And reading the book, you can see it playing out, right? Those of us who read it can see mm-hmm. it playing out, which is what you hope to do, and that people can find themselves in this book if they need to. And I, as I was reading just in the past month, there are people, children, parents who are experiencing PTSD in the past month that never expected to experience it. It might not even acknowledge it. PTSD is all around us, even in daily lives. Downtown Kansas City, small town Missouri.
One of the things, since I announced that I was going to step back over 3 years ago now, almost 4 years ago now, you know, I announced I was going to step back from everything and get treatment. One of the most common things that people have come up and said to me is they'll start to relate to me their trauma, but they will preface it with a disclaimer, which is, you know, I wasn't in the military or I've never been to war. And I always stop people and I say, that is a completely irrelevant piece of information to this conversation, because what happened with me and what happened with you don't have anything to do with each other. One of the things that I had to learn in therapy is that you cannot rank your trauma out of existence, is that, you know, trauma is trauma. And my brain doesn't know what your brain experienced. And so whether it is being proximate to a school shooting, whether it is a really bad car accident, whether it is losing a loved one, it doesn't matter. Like the list is endless. We don't really know why a brain responds, why one brain responds to something one way and another brain responds to it differently. We don't really know. And so the decade plus that I spent trying to discount my own trauma because I had friends who had, you know, had a leg blown off, or, you know, is no different than the people who say to me, you know, I lost someone close to me to cancer, but, you know, it's not like I went to war. And I'm like, it doesn't matter whether, you know, that was traumatic and you will do well to deal with that. So that's the thing, is like, yes, I'm a soldier and that's where my trauma came from, that, you know, is the subject of the book. But to say that the book wouldn't be helpful to somebody else because they weren't a soldier is like saying the book wouldn't be helpful to somebody else because they weren't running for president while they were going through their trauma. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant to it.
And you take it to a place that, you know, we can read and enjoy still, which is very interesting. I mean, the stories about your time in Afghanistan, they're riveting. And the stories about, you know, your interactions with people, the Jason Sudeikis's and people like that, that, you know, it's fun to read. I never thought I would say that about this book, but it's fun to read.
I figure, you know, people aren't going to read a book about this if they're not, if they can't laugh occasionally throughout it. And also, like, look, I am a soldier. Gallows humor, even at my lowest points, is what gets you through. So,
yeah. I began reading. I remember talking to you during the American withdrawal from Afghanistan. That's the last time we talked here. And I began in reading this book to worry about you, how that would play out in the book. And you write about how you immersed yourself in that, a new trauma. And really, I did. I could see that coming, you know. So how are we now? Your translator is safe. You can. I'm not going to give away too much of the book, but a lot of this is stuff we talked about with the Afghan Rescue Project. So can you share with us about that?
Yeah. I'll give you the short version, which is that I got very engaged in trying to get my translator's family out. And that turned into getting out a few other families of people that a few other people who I served with. Like, it was sort of the Afghans they worked with directly. So I knew them a little, but it was them and their families. You know, the war has been 20 years. So all of these people now have families as well. And then that grew into, you know, hundreds of families that we were helping. And, you know, as I stand here right now, this little nonprofit that I co-founded has gotten out more people than Schindler got out. And I don't really know how that happened. I'm proud of it, but it is still a very difficult thing to go through. And it took me a while, actually, just until a few weeks ago, and took my wife helping me realize that while I had treated it a bit and I had gone to see my therapist, that I still had a lot left there to deal with. And so actually, as we talk here just this morning, I had a Zoom appointment with my therapist at the VA, and I'm doing very well with it. And the difference is that I, you know, rather than wait 11 years, I recognize now, like, oh, that's a new injury. You know, I went through some really difficult stuff during that period, and I'm still going through some of it, and it has to be dealt with. And, you know, that's healthy. And that's what I'm doing.
Any other things you want to share with us about the Veterans Community Project, any of that that's going on now? That obviously you're driven. There is no doubt that you're a driven person, and that really lent itself to your time in the military. What's happening with the Veterans Community Project? Is this something that is really growing now?
Yeah. So I got involved with the Veterans Community Project after it had already started and become nearly fully operational in Kansas City. So I'm not one of the co-founders, but I'm fortunate to be here on the early end because I got involved because Veterans Community Project helped me get access to weekly therapy at the VA in a hurry. And I was inspired by it. And for the last 3 years, I've been the president of National Expansion. And in that time, we've expanded to the Denver area. We are building a campus now in St. Louis, and we'll begin housing veterans there, housing homeless veterans there this fall. And then we're also expanding into Sioux Falls, Oklahoma City, and then we have some others after that. And, you know, Veterans Community Project does two things, I would argue, better than anybody else in the country, which is address the suicide epidemic directly by having a really low barrier to entry for all walk-in services for veterans, and address veterans' homelessness with villages of tiny homes with wraparound services, specifically for homeless veterans. And that's why this book, all of my royalties as the author, go directly to benefit that work at Veterans Community Project, and all of my royalties.
We're talking to Jason Kander, well-known throughout Missouri, for a variety of things. This newest book, Invisible Storm, A Soldier's Memoir of Politics and PTSD. I'm not going to give away, even though people feel like they know what you went through, or that they know something about you, or they know you were running for mayor. But this is a whole look at politics in Missouri, politics on the national level, service. People come back in from service. There's a lot in this book that people will discover. I could see this book being picked up, you know, by Apple TV or Netflix or anything like that. Any discussions in the works about that?
Yes. but I can't, you know,
Can't tell me.
Not the book as a whole necessarily at this point, although, you know, that's possible. But certainly, there have been plenty of people who have talked to me and taken some steps forward to move forward on some of the Afghan evacuation stuff that we've been doing. And yeah, I've heard some other stuff about that. But look, my objective is, and this is going to sound like a very political answer, but I genuinely mean this. I am very fortunate to have reached a point in my life where my objectives are truly just about what kind of an impact can I make. And whether it's this book or anything else that I do, speaking, or if there were other mediums to telling this story or others, I'm in a unique position to help people understand that getting help really does make a difference and that post-traumatic growth is achievable. And that's a nice, clear mission. And so if that's a story people are interested in, and if they want to support the work that Veterans Community Project, for instance, is doing in Missouri and across the country, I would encourage them to pick up Invisible Storm wherever they buy their books.